À conversa no cais.
Esta semana fomos até à Marina de Oeiras e falamos de uma coincidência de amor à primeira vista, de ser comandante do próprio barco, da luta com os elementos, das rotinas, da importância dos clubes, de um mundial em casa, de ter que deixar de treinar, de escolhas difíceis, de diferentes culturas, das qualidades dos 420, do tempo na água, da adrenalina, do que se leva do ensino para a competição, do futuro da classe 420, do José Massapina, de trabalhar a técnica, o físico e a mente. O nosso convidado é o Michalis Mileus. Bem-vindos à Conversa no Cais, o podcast do LX Channel. Hoje vamos conversar com um treinador de vela muito especial, o Michalis Mileus. Michalis, thanks so much for your time. It's a great pleasure to talk with you. First of all, what you are doing in Portugal?
Thank you for having me. I am doing a clinic, a coaches and sailors clinic for the International 420 International Class Association. Mr. José Massapina is the president of the class and has been the responsible for the development program of the class for many years. Mm. And he's really active and on it, and even now that he's the president of the class. So it's my second time doing a clinic in Portugal. I've done also, I think, one in 2017 in Vilamoura. It was a high-level coaches clinic. And this is my second clinic in Portugal. I visited many times Portugal, especially for winter training, and I love the country and I'm very happy to be back here.
Let's go to your childhood and your roots. You're coming from Greece. When and why everything started?
It was a coincidence. Actually, my family's roots come from an island. Mm-hmm. My father was born and raised in Paros, a very famous Greek island in the Aegean waters. And I was also at an age around 7 to 8 years old, and I was very active as a kid and wanted to do some kind of sports. And was thinking, okay, all the famous sports, but my father, coming from an island, he used to fish in Athens with his friends during the weekend. Mm-hmm. And he saw those little boats named Optimist. And he said, okay, do you want to try it? I mean, I saw a few sailors going around in the bay, and do you want to try it? And I said, yes, why not? And that was it. 34 years later, I'm still doing sailing.
Is love at first sight? It's immediately passion or connection with that sport? Or you have tried some other things?
No, I never tried anything else, to be honest. For me, it was a really strong love at first sight. And it still is.
You said you started very young, 7, 8 years. In an optimist, what are your first memories of being on a boat?
In the beginning, it's more like a game. Many kids playing with a boat, with the water. If you are lucky, maybe you have started early in the season when the school starts around September, the water is warm. And you find it more as a game. But then, just because you're doing sailing only during the weekends, all the anxiety during the week when you go at school and you say, okay, I can't wait for the Saturday to come in order to go back and play with my friends on the water and with a boat. And I think this really changes when you get to a point that you are able to get inside on a boat on your own. Mm-hmm. And you feel this kind of freedom that now I am sailing the boat alone and I'm really strong and capable of doing it by myself. And you go out on shore and you feel like that you are 2 meters high and you're like the king of the world because you were sailing with a boat on your own.
You are the captain of your boat at the end.
Yes. And this is a really exciting moment that I think every sailor has experienced, and I think he will never forget.
Today, in so many platforms and so many forums, we have a big discussion about how the beginning of sailing. Sailing lose lots of kids from other sports, water sports nowadays, and there are different approaches. Do you believe that exactly the way you started, it's the correct way, or it's a good way? Start everything like a game, having fun, and then you slowly move to competitions, the ones that want to go, and the others can only go sailing for fun. Because I always say that all of us need to ride a bike, but almost none of us going to be a professional cyclist.
I agree. I mean, sailing is a great sport by itself. I don't find many other sports being able to give you this kind of freedom, that you are not locked and caged in a pit of four lanes, like a football pit or a basketball pit or whatever other court this may be, fighting with nature, with the wind,
elements,
with
yeah.
the way, yeah, with the elements of nature and the wind, the days that they are warm, the cold days. I mean, it's something unique. It's something really unique. And of course, there is a lot of technical stuff around it,
yeah.
Which has to do with the way you steer the boat, with the way you use the sail, with the ways you use your body to hike, to tack, to jibe. All these things are very important, but I truly believe, and I strongly believe even now, that generally it has to start as a game, because as you very clearly said, and I'm really keen on this of this idea, that we all went on a bike, but no one, very few of us, went to the Tour de France in the end. And doing sailing doesn't mean that you have to be a professional sailor, or you have to be a champion, or you have to be successful. It's a really good sport, even if you do it just for fun. Even if you just take on a boat out with your friends, your son, your daughter, or whoever. Or if you have a big boat, you get your friends with a wine and something like to eat.
It's an awesome way to grow up and build the character of a person, because you learn to manage, as you said, the elements. You need to, you are alone, you are, when you are 7, 8, 9, even or for fun, you need to manage or live with the decisions you made. So it's a great school, then you can apply in so many different professions in the future.
Yes, and also that you get in a role, you get within a team, that you need to be disciplined, all the routine, that you need to take care of your equipment, that every day you need to wash your sail, your boat, that it's not salty the next day, maintaining your boat, changing a block, changing a line on the sail. All these things make you a more responsible character for the future.
You start on Optis, and then one day you become 420 world champion. What happened between these first jobs and being a world champion?
To be honest, I was lucky enough to be successful in all the classes that I have participated. So
you have a natural talent.
I don't know if it's talent or if it was a combination of both talent and hard working and
obviously. Sorry. You need to completely agree with you. Talent is not enough. You don't push hard, you don't work hard.
Yeah, but
I
like to insist in the word lucky, because again, you may be talented and you may be hardworking, but you need to find also, you need to be a member of a club that is working properly, who is giving you the options and the possibilities and the tools to be a successful sailor, a good coach, a good working environment. There are many, many different factors that they need to work well and be aligned in order for a sailor and an athlete in general to be successful. So I was lucky enough to be very successful also in Optimists. And then I moved to the 420s. And the first year I was able to win the national championship against sailors that they have been in the class more years than me. So I realized that something good is happening. And I remember the first world championship that I participated in was in Athens.
At home?
At home, maybe. No. The first one was a youth championship in South Africa.
Yeah, it's far away.
Far away. The Volvo Youth Championship, where you use the same equipment. Everyone is using the same equipment.
Yeah.
But the next one was in Athens. And then at the age of around 17 to 18, I had targeted a title, a world title. So in 2000, we finished third in La Rochelle with my crew. And that was the first very big title that we got in the 420s. Then I moved to the 470s. We did two campaigns. And then after I quitted the 470s, there was also again a World Championship at home in the 420s. So I said, why not? Yeah. I should try. I owe myself a first medal. Yes. And we got it, and I was super happy about it.
And you talk about a few minutes ago the importance of a club that helped you and guide you. You still sail for the same club, or you still have a relation with that club?
Yes, I still sail for the same club, yes.
It's great. And the club still have the same level, same way to bring kids and push them hard to being champions?
Yeah, actually, the girls from my club won the World Championship in Brazil last December.
Wow. How is sailing in Greece right now?
Complicated.
Because it's difficult. I've made an interview with Torben Grael, for instance, a couple of months ago. A podcast with him, and he said, look, sailing became so expensive, the competition, that we need to choose between one class or the other. And for us, you are Greek, I'm Portuguese, we are not rich countries from North Europe countries. It's struggling. Sometimes we have so many talent, but it's difficult to find budgets, sponsors, whatever it is, to make those crews, put them in the right place.
And this is very accurate, and I can understand why Torben said this. I am also, let's say, a victim of this of this situation, because I had to stop during the economic crisis that hit Greece in 2008, there were no funds to support every athlete. And so I had to choose either to leave the sport forever or do something else. So I swapped to coaching. Mm-hmm. I left my Olympic campaigning dreams in order to continue as a coach. And pretty much is exactly as Torben also said, that financially is quite challenging to keep up with really strong and wealthy countries, that they put a lot of money on the sport and they invest a lot on the sport. And yes, in the end, you definitely want to be successful, but if you want to be successful, you can understand that it's impossible to support all classes. You have to make some kind of choices. Of course, financially oriented to the ones that you can afford, have, and support. And in the end, of course, you cannot have teams in all classes of the Olympic program. The same goes for Greece. We don't have the funds to support all classes.
It's fun because countries like Greece, Portugal, Italy and Spain are a little bit different, but Portugal and Greece, yeah, we have such a big. You train in. You get clinics for 20 in so many places in the world: Canada, Australia, Italy, South Africa, wherever it is, and then you go in Japan in 4 months. I think. What are the similarities you find all over the world, and what are the biggest differences between those all of those countries?
Definitely, there are big differences, the big cultural differences between all these different countries. Definitely, there are completely different ways of approaching the sport and the class itself. But on the other hand, the good thing is that the class itself and the development program has the ways and the means to equally support whatever culture you may have to work with. And there is always one way to be successful. Not just one, but I'm saying, I'm trying to say that following the way of the class is helping a lot all these different cultures, different sailors, different associations to work in the same way in order to be successful. And also to spread the proper way of working around this boat.
Now everybody talking about foiling, and even the Olympic Committee has moved lots of foils, lots of so many things. Do you think the skills or the learning process of a let's call like a classical, let's call 420 a classical boat, it's still very important because they are so many details on a boat like a 420 and then a 470, and that you can improve your sailing skills even later you move to foiling boats like Nackers, 49ers on foil, but
it's, even it's a skiff boat, yes.
Skiff boats, yeah, but you see the learning, the way you need to learn the complexity of a 420 is still a very important to develop your sailing skills.
It is because considering the fact that all sailors are starting as single-handed sailors, they're mm-hmm. starting in a single-handed boat. Just the fact that you enter on the boat with a different person, with a different character, and mm-hmm. having to work together as one, and facing all the difficulties of splitting roles, setting different requirements for the working environment of both of them, and make them work as one, it's very valuable for any boat that may choose in the future. The fact that you take a sailor that has been working by himself and put him in an environment that he needs to work with other people as well, it's already a big success that is going to help him in any kind of sailing he will move on from now and then.
Now trying to look a little bit more...
The technical details, of course, they may differ. Of course, a foiling boat is completely different from a dinghy boat, yep, and stuff like that. But he will be more ready when he has done a lot of sailing with another person on a dinghy boat, no matter if it's a dinghy, if it's a skiff or whatever, for his future career. And of course, the technical details of his future boat will going to be different, but he's going to be training just in learning the new technical details of a different boat. He would have already learned how to work with another person inside the boat.
Now looking a little bit for Portuguese history on 420s, we have so many talents since Martinho and Ingrid Fortunato to Rudolf Pires, Diogo Costa, Bia Gago. And what's missing Portuguese crews to to have another medal because or another top result, because the last one we have on 420 is with Hugo and Nuno Barreto, and then with the Costas brothers on 420. What's missing? What are the details we are missing?
To be honest, I don't know many details about how the teams are working in Portugal. But I wouldn't say that something is missing. The fact that Portugal is able to get medals, even when it's long time ago and it's not like very often, it means that they have the way and the knowledge to get a medal. It doesn't mean that you have to get the medals every year and everything that
no,
you are.
No, of course not.
So I'm saying that generally, Portugal is capable of extracting good talented sailors performing in a high level, and no matter if they get the medal or not, Portugal is one of the famous countries with really great sailors in all boats.
Now you are coaching a couple of kids and coaches here in this clinic. You think the Portuguese sailing clubs still doing a good job?
I believe so. Although I had a few conversations with the coaches, and I feel that something that I don't know, as a country, as a federation, something that could be changed is to allow sailors to spend more time training. I feel that for 20 sailors, at least with the coaches that I have been chatting this week on this clinic, they don't get enough time on the water because of school obligations. And they don't have a lot of free time in order to do more trainings than twice a week. For example, in Greece, we train four times per week. They have the weekend that they have full training schedule on weekend, and 2 days within Monday and Friday, they will just go for maybe a couple of hours on the water right after school.
The national educational system to try it's the only way to be there.
Or try to convince in general that sports is also good for the for the students. I mean, reading and studying is very productive, I understand, but being able also to work out and do different things rather than just studying and reading, it's also very helpful for their personality, for the character, for the sports in general.
And for the health also.
For the health, definitely, yes. And promote also as many kids as possible to be around sports.
José told me you also sail on a big boat.
Yes.
And you also are a dealer of North Sails in Greece. Mm-hmm. What kind of big boats do you normally sail?
We used to sail on FAR 43, Cookson, one-off.
Wow.
Yes.
It's a great boat.
It's a great boat. And we sold it, and now we have a TP52.
You sail with the TP52 in IRC?
No. ORC. ORCI.
ORC. ORC. Oh, great. And you mainly race in Greece or abroad?
We mainly race in Greece, but now we started also a new project with Volvo 70.
It's, wow!
Yes, it's the old Puma boat from Juan K.
Il Mostro, exactly.
And
this year we
will do the Aegean 600 in Greece, and we are still figuring out about the rest of the program for this project.
You said you are related to sea since you are a kid professionally. What give you more adrenaline, teaching or racing?
Good question. I need to say that it's completely different adrenaline. Both gives you great amounts of adrenaline. Definitely, while racing is a more of a personal pleasure and satisfaction. While coaching, it's part of sharing the same dream and the same anxiety with the team that you are working with, and you're trying your best to make them successful. So this is also gives you really great and intense feelings at some point when you reach great achievements with the team, and you realize that all the hard work that you have done with them has paid off. So mm-hmm. I mean, there are great, both of them are great feelings, quite different. But I would say they're both very strong, and I really enjoy it either when I'm racing for myself or when I'm coaching for a team.
You bring lots of knowledge of things you learn to racing, from the learning for teaching process.
In the early stages that I started coaching, I first focused on myself. And I would ask questions to myself like, what were you missing as a sailor from the coaching side? I mean, which are the parts that you felt that coaching should be different? And I would always try to improve this part by trying to bring back the memories as an athlete of cases that things should have been a little bit different. And I think this really helped me a lot, especially in the first years of coaching.
What will be the 420 class in next 10 years?
Hope it will be same successful like the past years, because it is a really great boat and helps a lot the sailors in their future career. Of course, the challenges are more than in the past, because as you said, the modern days, the boats are changing dramatically to foiling and different kind of sailing. But I believe traditional sailing is a good platform for getting all the great knowledge for the future and the I don't know. I believe I really like traditional sailing, and I hope that it will not be old fashioned.
You're still learning maths and writing and reading in old ways. Writing a letter with a pen on a piece of paper, and even if you later you're gonna only use computers and you have systems that you read and they transform in text, you need to have the backgrounds.
Yes,
and maybe the classes like 420 will gonna live for a long time, because they will be the backbone of formation and learning of the sailing.
Yeah, I also believe exactly the same. And 420 is a really great platform, not only in terms of what I told you earlier, that you put two different sailors working together, but it's a very affordable class. There is a big know-how, because it has been around the sport for really many years, and I think it will keep going like this.
You imagine yourself coaching other different class than 420?
I've coached a lot 470s, to be honest.
I know. But let's say 420, 47 are, let's say, father and son.
Yeah. Okay. They are indeed. Father.
Yeah,
and
they
son.
Are. Yeah, completely father and son. Yeah.
I've done a little bit of 49er.
And I completely love 49ers. What's your feelings about 49ers?
They have done a really great job developing the boat. The boat is completely different if you see like 20 years ago how it looked and the way it looks right now. It's completely different. It gets busier and busier, so it's very attractive for the sailors as well. It's different. It's a skiff. It's definitely the basics of sailing are there. So of course you need to know the basics in order to get into a 49er and be successful and move on. It is a nice boat. I like it a lot. Apart from that, to be honest, I can't really think of what I would be doing in the future. In 10 years from now, I would be really happy if I would be still able to coach 420s and 470s. But knowing how much I love the sport and sailing in general, I would do whatever it takes to stay around the sport.
You're going to be around for sure. Wait, beginning we talk about José Massapina, we need to talk about him because I think sailing needs the guy, people like him with this kind of passion and almost obsession about sharing and developing and he put so many hours of work on that, he's pushing so hard. It's mandatory to still find people like him.
I know José for many years. To be honest, I haven't really met so many passionate people like José, and with so much dedication with the class. And I have to assure you that if we had many, many more people like José, the sport would be much better and way more different. I consider José a friend because I know him for many years. And it's really impressive, and it impresses me every time to see him so active and so dedicated to help so many sailors all around the world, which I really find it impressive. And from my part as a coach in general, I would like to thank him for being so active and so successful on what he's doing.
What recommendation, what you suggest for the kids that are now starting the anywhere in the world, the 420s?
I would recommend the secret. The secret is
hard work, we know. But besides hard work, what they need to have?
I mean, I wouldn't say hard work as a first, because I know they will put the hard work on. I would say that they should trust each other. They should try to take the best out of each other without being selfish and rude. And always think at the end of the day that it's on their benefit to work together. And it's going to be more helpful for them to be successful if they work as one
at the end. Because I remember when Álvaro Marinho finished his career, with Miguel Nunes, I said, look, guys, imagine you are a CEO or a top-ranked guy on a company. We spend with your partner sharing 3 square meters of work for the last 16 years. This is completely insane.
Yes.
If you imagine in an oil company or a bank, two top guys are dividing sharing three square meters. It's completely insane.
And it's not just the time that they spend on the boat. Think that, for example, they may have to spend a lot of time traveling, sharing a room at the hotel. And think also, for example, the frustration they have when they have a bad result or if they have a fight between them. And then they have to spend the time together again at home hotel room or drive back home, which is maybe 2,000 kilometers far away. This is they are pushing themselves so much, not just physically and mentally, that it's a really strong bond that is developing between two people, and under a very demanding environment, which you need to perform, and you need to perform well, and this is quite challenging, and especially for teams that they have spent together many years working as a team, yeah. It's really wonderful. They become family. It's like one for the other is a family. It's a brother.
Yeah, it's funny because we years ago, decades ago, we were discussing about technical skills and physical skills. And for and only in the last, I don't know, 15, maybe 15, 20 years, we have started discussing mental coach and mental training and mental skills. Because at the end, this is a triangle between technical, physical, and mental. And you need to work on these three areas.
I totally agree with you. I mean, as a person, you have many different functions. You cannot just avoid working with some other factors of yourself. Psychology and mental state that you are during campaigning or during a very challenging cooperation with a team is really important. And you cannot consider yourself as a complete person if you just say, I only need my body when I'm doing sports.
Thanks so much, Mikalis, for your precious time. It was a great, great pleasure to talk with you. And let's book a chat next time you return to Portugal with more stories and more learning to share your what you are teaching around the world with the Portuguese community and the guys that are gonna hear us from abroad. So thanks so much for your time, and I hope to see you soon. Bye.
Thank you very much as well. Bye.
E assim chegamos ao final de mais um A Conversa no Cais, o seu podcast do LG Schelling. Como habitualmente, para a semana, cá estaremos com novos convidados.